this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskan. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Voskan provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskan, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 302 of The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality. Well, it's a podcast that looks at the very fabric of our being through the most ancient of all Christian lenses, the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. We call that polished look Armadoxy, and we're inviting you to take a look with us. This is melding, fusion, vision, putting together the old with the new, bringing it all together to find that equilibrium point at the equinox, by the way. This is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. If you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. So glad to have you with us today on the equinox. Yes, it is the vernal equinox today. It is the beginning of spring here in the Northern Hemisphere, and for all of you out in the Southern Hemisphere, whether you're listening in Australia or South America, specifically for our group in Peru, for our group in Argentina, yes, I won't forget you people in Australia, I think I said it right, for you in New Zealand and in Sydney. Well, welcome to, I guess this is your autumn, right? Now, I bring that up because it's interesting. Do you know that Easter is calculated on, the date for Easter is calculated after the first full moon of spring, after the equinox? So if this happens to be your autumnal equinox, in other words, if you're getting ready for autumn, then when is your Easter? You celebrate Easter in September, October? Okay, I think this question is in with the questions of how many angels on the head of a pin. And certainly that is not what we do here on The Next Step. But I just throw that out because we also have a lot of fun on The Next Step. I'm glad you're with us today. We've got a great show for you. I have an interview coming up in a few minutes. I just got back from Chicago and the Midwest, and specifically Milwaukee, where I did a presentation on the Dativ outreach and talked about domestic violence. And something new for the Midwest to understand that within the Armenian community, of course, everybody knows no community is without violence. There are certain social issues, but to hear that the church is at the forefront of addressing these issues and bring an end to this violence, I think this is something that is new. It's refreshing, actually, for people, because when you think about the church, the Christian church, in the concept of being the body of Christ, which is very scriptural, which is very traditional. In other words, the body of Christ, the hands, the legs, the feet, the mouth of Christ here on earth. Well, where else should the church be? But addressing these social issues, but addressing the pain, addressing the illness, the disease in our society. And when you think about Christ and his healing, I mean, they broke down the roof. Remember the story of the paralyzed man? They broke down the roof to bring the paralyzed man to Christ. What did he do? He healed the man. He didn't sit and say, well, you know what? Can't pull it off today. You know, bring him back. Maybe in about 50 years, we'll be ready to set up a social services office. Maybe in about 25 years, we'll be okay to have a hospital here or there. No. Christ took care of it immediately. And time again, he walks up to the blind man. The deaf man comes up to him, and Christ, he doesn't make excuses. He doesn't say, excuse me, I've got to go to a meeting tonight. Well, you know what? Bring it up. Put it on a piece of paper, and we will pray about it, or put it someplace, and we'll get together, and we'll have a discussion about it. No, he says, you've got a problem. You've got an illness. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You shall live in the light. You will not see that darkness, and you are healed. Well, what is the church but the body of Christ, the representative of Christ here in this world? And so when there is disease, there is problem in the world, where should the church be? And this is what it comes down to. So we had a chance to talk about Dative Outreach, about social services within the context of the faith community called the Armenian Church. And we had a chance to present this out there in the Midwest. And it was wonderful, just a wonderful, wonderful trip. Great people. And the priest there, Father Narek Kutelian, if you ever get a chance to meet him, it's worth the meet. Okay, I know. Yes, thank you, Susie. Yes, a couple of years ago, we did an interview with him. He was on the Next Step. So if you search the archives, and Ken's signaling me that he will dig it up and we'll put it in our show notes for today. But if you search the archives, there is an interview with him from a few years ago. But here's what was really interesting. I had forgotten about how much in common we had. We had talked about this in the past, but we go back to the days of the electronic bulletin board. This is the predecessor, the granddaddy to the internet. And he reminded me, in fact, it was rather humorous because he got in front of his congregation. Actually, it was seven churches that had gotten together. And in introducing me, he says, we go back to the time of the bulletin boards. And he says, now, a bulletin board is not something that you put thumbtacks on. And, I'm doing the visuals to that, and I got a real kick out of that. Yes, the electronic bulletin board. We started that back in 1988, right after the Armenian earthquake, and we had the same. Actually, those of you who email me know that my address, I've still retained that domain, sane.org, specifically, because it has such sentimental value for me. It is the first Armenian domain ever registered, the St. Andrew Information Network. And it was dedicated to St. Andrew the first disciple of Jesus Christ. Right? The first, St. Andrew Information Network. And so he reminded me of all the beautiful networking we had done in the past, whether it was with The Window. We were in His Shoes Ministries, one of the first people who supported the In His Shoes mission, and therefore Dativ Outreach as well. And it was very special for me because I found not only a priest, but a geek brother too, somebody who understood computers to the tune of, I had a major problem with some Armenian fonts on the new Windows 7 and 8 platforms. Ever since Windows 7 came out a couple of years ago, I've had some issues with the fonts, and now with Windows 8. And it was very nice. The second night that I was there, he says, oh, we could solve that. And he came into the hotel room and just sat at the computer and whipped out a few files, and we took care of those. So I am indebted to him for that wonderful little lesson that I got in computers and Armenian fonts as well. But here's the other, let's say, lining of events, because we don't call them coincidences, right? The gentleman that I interviewed, Dave Lorson, you're going to hear him in a few minutes, he says, I didn't know that you were one of the editors of Window. He says, I wrote an article in Window. And I says, wow, this is like full circle, isn't it? So anyway, Ken, if you wouldn't mind, let's get the link for that too. And we'll put that article, if we find it, we should today, we'll put that article on our show notes as well. So all kinds of good things happening out there in the Midwest. And like I said, in a few minutes, I'll introduce our guest and we'll have that interview. We'll play that interview. But for right now, let me share with you a couple other items that have, what did we say just now? The lining up of events, okay? Now, as you know, at the beginning of the Lenten season, we started a new podcast called The Road to Healing. And specifically, I wanted to use this as an opportunity to do some meditations and prayers that would arrive, that by the time we got to Easter, we would understand that healing is not just about body, it's not about mind and soul, but it's a completeness. Because when Jesus resurrects, when he comes out of the tomb, what is that but the healing of humanity? What is the entire purpose purpose of Christianity, but to heal humanity. So it's the road to healing. And this specific week, we've been talking about the prodigal son, because last Sunday was the message of the prodigal. Now, I got some great email about the prodigal. In fact, there's a really good one I'm going to ask you to hold off until next week. I was going to try to include it in today's show, but it is pretty profound, the concepts that this listener brings up. So I want to share that with you next week. But for right now, the prodigal son opened the door to forgiveness. Obviously, it's forgiveness. And it's that unconditional forgiveness that we look at. You know, the father who takes back the son. A lot of times I know, especially in my case, where we're dealing with a lot of the kids on the streets. We've done youth ministry. And there's this concept of tough love. That you exchange their evil with an even tougher kind of love. And I've never been a proponent of that. I've got to be honest with you. It sounds good on paper, but Jesus was not a tough love man. He was a man who opened his arms, opened himself to everyone, and gave of himself. And we see that in the story of the prodigal son. It's the son who decides to go back home, makes the effort to come back home, and all of a sudden is found in the arms of his father. His father comes out. And this is a far cry. It's a big difference from what we do. You know, somebody does us wrong. What are we saying? Told they come begging for forgiveness. I'll think about it. Not even forgive. I'll think about it. The father in the story, and we're talking out of the Gospel of Luke, the story of the prodigal son. What does the father do? Open arms, goes running after the child. And so we talked about that, and we've been discussing that in the Road to Healing. And if you haven't been doing the podcast, if you haven't been following the Road to Healing podcast, it's a series of 40 podcasts. I'm going to be honest with you, don't start it in the middle. Don't start today. In other words, if you're going to start it, go back to the first one. Because I've been getting some email from people. I got a call the other day. You know what you said in there? That's kind of ridiculous. It doesn't work. Yeah, it is ridiculous. Christianity is ridiculous if you don't get the foundation that it's built on love. If you don't understand that Christ came out of this example of love. God so loved the world. And it really doesn't make sense. He's just somebody out there in first century Palestine doing some doing some miracles. But if you understand the concept that this is God incarnate, that it is the creator, it is love, complete love, total love, taking form in Jesus Christ. Well, to get to that understanding, you've got to have some of the background. In the same way, if you're going to do the Lenten journey, I strongly advise, do not start, what is today? Let's see, the 18th day, 19th day. Do not start at day 19. Start at day 1 and then work it through. Work it through to the 40 days. I think you'll see that there's a nice progression of ideas and the healing comes about. So, we were talking about the prodigal son, and all of a sudden I get this tweet from our friends over in the Darfuri camps, the Gabriel Starring in the IACT. It was one of the IACT tweets. And it talks about Bishop Desmond Tutu's latest book. Now, of course, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Nobel Peace Prize winner, had written a book, There Is No Future Without Forgiveness. And I want you to contemplate that for a moment. Really, what future do you have? What future does humanity have? What do you have in your future if you don't have forgiveness? And so we were discussing that idea when all of a sudden we found out that there's a new book coming out by Archbishop Tutu. In fact, it came out on the 18th, just a couple days ago. And on that same day, we were doing this podcast. Don't give me that coincidence stuff, okay? There are no coincidences, just God giving us opportunities to talk his message of love. So, I didn't get a chance to read it, but I quickly went and I took a look at the product description over on good old Amazon. And check this out, okay? And I want you to think about this for a moment, okay? Each of us has a deep need to forgive and to be forgiven, says the Archbishop. After much reflection on the process of forgiveness, Tutu has seen that there are four important steps to healing. Now remember this. Admitting the wrong and acknowledging the harm. Telling one's story and witnessing the anguish. asking for forgiveness and granting forgiveness, and renewing or releasing the relationship. Okay? Four steps towards healing. Okay, very interesting. Not saying four steps towards forgiving. Forgiving is in the process of healing, okay? Now let's take those in reference to the story of the prodigal son. Let's see how it works out, okay? The first one, he said, admitting the wrong and acknowledging the harm. Well, of course, the prodigal son, he comes, it's the day of his revelation, right? He's down to everything. He now realizes the harm that's involved. And he admits the wrong. He says, I've sinned, I've made a mistake. Now, the second step is telling one's story, okay? This is the articulation. It's important to articulate. In other words, to feel, to be able to repent. And certainly the boy does that. He tells the story. Hey, in my father's house, they were better off. I need to get out of this place. I don't want to eat that pig slop. And the third step, he asks for forgiveness. Obviously, in that articulation, what does he say? I have sinned against heaven and you, my father. I have sinned against you. I want to come back. I ask for forgiveness. And it says, granting forgiveness. Now, remember this formula that we're given by Jesus. He said, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. In other words, forgive me by the same standard that I set for others. In other words, you can forgive me to the extent that I forgive another. I don't forgive my brother, then I shouldn't expect a full forgiveness from you, my Lord, my Savior. And so this idea of asking for forgiveness and then granting forgiveness. And that granting of forgiveness of not only, of course, on towards other people, but towards the self as well. And then finally, renewing and releasing the relationship. Archbishop Tutu says again, you go to the prodigal story, so beautifully said by our Lord. You know, so what is that renewal of the relationship? It's coming back into the house. And not only coming in as a servant, but wearing the ring. In other words, he is the son. So it was just very beautiful that we had that lesson from the archbishop right at that moment as we were looking at the story of the prodigal son. I've shared this with you many times. I think personally that if nothing else, absolutely nothing else, reached us from the early centuries of the church, even the words of Christ, if the gospel, if the scriptures didn't reach us, the church fathers' writings didn't reach us, if only this one story of the prodigal son had reached us today, I think it is enough for us to understand what God is all about. What is the relationship between us and our Creator? What is the love of God? How much love He has for us and how much He wants us to be in sync and in union with Him. So with that being said, I mean, we have a beautiful Lenten period. It's an opportunity for us to all be healed. It's an opportunity for all of us to approach the mystery of Christ is resurrected, namely Easter Sunday, to approach that mystery in a very solemn and sacred manner. So I invite you to get involved wherever you can in this beautiful Lenten period. Okay, we do a song of the day every week. This week I have selected something a little bit different. We're going to go to some contemporary Christian music this time because a very dear friend of mine, Elizabeth Lazarian, just passed away, 92 years old. And she was just a woman of class, of dignity, a true woman of faith who inspired many people. Back in 1996, I was honored to be able to publish her book called Fruit for God, which even got an endorsement and a foreword written by the former patriarch Archbishop Torkel Manoogian. You know, when they lend their name to things like this, when they put their name on it, you know, okay, there's got some kind of credibility over there. But aside from that, just a wonderful woman in the presence of God, inspired many, many people. And her daughter called me the day that she passed away and said, Mom, is at rest. And we went through some of the details, and she said I had been with her all the time. And then for a moment, I said I was going to go out. And it was at that moment that she passed away. But interestingly enough, she was said, I was sitting at a stoplight in my car at the moment that she passed away. And a song came on called If I Could Only Imagine by Mercy Me. Now, I'm going to play it for you as a little tribute, as a little reminder of all the beautiful people in the world, as a reminder that when it all ends, there's only really a few things that really matter in the presence of God. Here is Mercy Me doing If I Could Only Imagine.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in to my knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
I Can Only Imagine by a group called Mercy Me. And we will have a link on our show notes today so you could check out not only that song, but other compositions by the group. I think whenever we have a song like this and we play it, it's always important for us to keep in mind, especially within the Orthodox tradition or mainline traditional churches, to keep in mind that all of liturgical songs, hymns, were created to bring praise and glory to God. They were meant to be sung in festive manners. They were meant to be sung from the bottom of our heart. Sometimes you go into a church and it's like, you know, death marches. No, Christianity is not about death. It's about life. It's about, you know, think about just like a short song in the Armenian tradition. You know, it's like, let us praise the Lord every minute. You know, it's like an anthem it should be sung. Then sometimes you get into some churches and it's like, you know, it's like they labor to say, let us praise God. No, it's not about dragging it out. It's about sharing the excitement that's in your heart. When God is alive in you, you share that. Think about the kiss of peace, for instance, in our liturgy. Christ is in our midst. I mean, if Christ is in our midst, what greater news is there? Can't just say, hey, Christ is in our midst. Hey, you know, yeah, Jesus is here. No, Christ is in our midst. You get out there and you herald it. You talk about it. You share it. You hug one another. It's overwhelming. And this has to be reflected in the singing, in the celebration of the liturgy. So when we hear songs like this, and like I said, I played this because of a dedication to a very, very special friend, a lady who touched our lives in many ways. So to Elizabeth Lazarian, we'll miss you, Liz. And we know that today you've been called home. And God says, come to me. You have labored. I have for you a place that I have prepared for you since the beginning of time. I had a wonderful time in Milwaukee at the St. John the Baptist Armenian Church, and I was the guest of Father Narek Kutelian, and just a wonderful man of faith, of dedication to the Armenian Church. And he introduced me to a man named Dave Lorson. Now, Dave Lorson is the arts and entertainment editor at the ExpressMilwaukee.com, as well as Shepherd Express. Wonderful man who was serving at the altar. He was a deacon at the altar. And it perked my curiosity, my fascination, because here was a deacon who was not ethnically Armenian. In other words, he was an ABC, Armenian by choice. Well, at least Armenian Orthodox by choice, right? And I think this is very important that we talk to people like this. And I said earlier that he had done a piece of writing for our publication Window several years earlier, and we dug that up while we were playing this song. So we'll have that on the website as well. But I had a chance to catch up with him right after the liturgy last Sunday in Milwaukee. We sat down in front of the Apostle microphone. Here is the interview. Okay. Well, I'm really happy to be here in Wisconsin. I'm at the St. John the Baptist Armenian Church in near Milwaukee, or is this Milwaukee?
Greenfield. Right next to Milwaukee.
And I'm with Dave Lorson. He is one of the deacons here at the church. We just celebrated the liturgy, and it happened to be Lent, so we did a Lenten service. And I got a chance to meet him, and I shared with you a little bit about him. Now we have him in the office. So thank you for agreeing to do this.
Well, thank you, Dar. Hi.
We in the Armenian Church have issues of getting people to come, and yet the people who understand the language, who know it, who quote-unquote are born into the church, are far away. Yet you're somebody who has not been born into the church but has a genuine passion and desire to learn the church, so much so that you've become a deacon in the church. How did this happen?
Well, I had no intention of becoming a deacon at the day I walked in here. I guess to give you a little bit of my backstory, I was brought up as a Lutheran. I became an atheist for 1 week in high school. I thought better of that and became an agnostic instead for 10, 12, years or so, the reason I broke away from the faith of my upbringing, one reason is probably very common, that as a teenager, you're acutely aware of the gap between theory and practice. Everything looks very hypocritical. That was one thing. The other thing, I had genuine problems with Lutheran theology, certain parts of it anyway, and I still do, which is one reason why I would not go back there. At a point in life, I was moved to reconsider the existence of God and decided, I guess, or was moved to re-accept the idea of a personal God. It never occurred to me not to become a Christian again. Mm-hmm. I never toyed with the idea of becoming a Hindu or doing anything else. And for me, if I accept the premise of Christ, of the revelation of Christ as something special that happened here in this world at a certain point in time, I would like to get back to the source of this, as close to the source of that revelation as possible, rather than trying to have Christianity as interpreted by people who lived 1,500 or 2,000 years after the fact. I would have wanted to have found a church that was close to the origins of this. And to do that, the first thing that occurred to me was the Greek Orthodox Church. There's a famous one in Milwaukee built by Frank Lloyd Wright. So I went there, and I found it to be very intriguing, and I went to the Yellow Pages in those days, late 1980s, and began looking Eastern Orthodox. So I went to the Russian and the Ukrainian and the Serbian, and just purely, it seems by chance, I flipped the page over by accident one day, and there was something called Armenian Apostolic. And I didn't know exactly what that was, but I knew enough about history to assume that the Armenian Church was something similar to these other Orthodox churches. So I decided one Sunday with a friend of mine, we came just at random to St. John the Baptist here in Greenfield. It was the Sunday before the great earthquake of 1988, so I could probably figure out the exact date of that. And the beauty of the Bodyrock, the beauty of the music was particularly inspiring and moving. But also the important thing was the people here in this particular community. It struck me immediately that this was kind of an extended family, but also an extended family that a person coming from the outside could become part of. And this wasn't a decision that I made right away. I came to this church off and on for a couple of years. I went to other Orthodox churches of one kind or other, just sampling to see what was out there. But the music and the people, I would say, were the two most important things that drew me to this community.
So when you say music, I assume you're talking about the hymns of the church,
the Sharagans,
which are in Armenian. Now, what about the language issue? Was that a barrier? Was that, how did you deal with that, or have you dealt with that?
I don't have any problem with this personally. Naturally, the first umpteen times I read the English translations, which is beautiful poetry. It's beautiful, the words, but the meaning of the words can be communicated, I think, without having to sit with a nose in the book reading it word by word. The words are beautiful. It's important to know what it means, but I think you can also sit back and be moved by the aesthetics of it. It's a ladder of spiritual ascent in some way. I think that the music and the composition of the Bodyrock are absolutely phenomenal. It's one of the most beautiful things imaginable when done well on a good Sunday, so to speak.
Is there something beyond the language, beyond the understanding of the language? That it's interesting. I want to ask you, because the language is an issue right off the bat. Did you need that language? Do you need the language to understand the Armenian Church? How about that?
Well, I think that the language helps. I think that of course, what the Armenian Church and what really any true form of religion is trying to do is to get to something that's beyond human language and human comprehension. So the words are signposts, and I think that for me the music is more of a gateway to the soul in some sense, I think, than words are. Music can say things that words have trouble with. So having said all of this, I recognize that the Armenian church in the present time does have a language barrier for many people. Mm-hmm. That if we were able to do even deacon's part chanting in English, which is not difficult to do at all, if we were able to do that, I think that the Armenian church would have a better possibility for outreach for people, not just our people of Armenian descent who do not speak the language, but for other people in the world looking for what the Armenian church has to offer.
In any church you learn, you absorb, and as Jesus said, come to me, and then at the end of his ministry he said, go. How about as far as proselytizing you yourself? Do you find yourself talking to others about the Armenian church? Have you invited people as a member of the church?
Yes, I have. I actually, my cousin is also a deacon serving up there with me. My father joined the church eventually. A friend of mine joined the church, and his two children, my godchildren, were baptized here. So I've done this as circumstances allow. I think, I may be wrong for this, but one of the things that I liked about this church was that people weren't pestering me to join it. In fact, they were very surprised that I wanted to join it. And for me, there was something genuine about that, because I had the experience growing up of watching people go door to door, ringing people's doorbells, thrusting pamphlets into their faces. And this was always very much a turnoff for me. So I responded in a way personally to not being, having my arm twisted in any way, not even being encouraged particularly to join. On the other hand, though, the Armenian church does need to take its evangelistic missions more seriously than I think it has. It is trying to work with people of Armenian heritage, of course. We know there's a lot of projects going on for that. But I think that the hierarchy of the Armenian church needs to think one step beyond that, to the fact that there, we live in a world where people are not stuck with the faith or the lack of faith they were born with. People can jump ship now very easily. Right. People can go from one thing to another. People are hungry. You know, people are searching for things. And there are, I think, many, many people who would find what they're looking for in the Armenian church, even if they had no, you know, conceivable genetic or ethnic connection to it.
Hmm. 1988, you came into church. So 25 years you've been in the church. A parting shot. What would you say to clergy? What would you say to laity? What would you say to people who are peripherally in the church? And by that I mean the people who say, I belong to the church but seldom come, because you're here every Sunday.
Right.
I mean, and most Armenians will claim to a membership in the church without the responsibility of going, participating. Do you have a message to them? We have a message beyond what you said now to the clergy.
Well, to the clergy, some clergy and some laity, I think that there's been an unfortunate tendency in the Armenian diaspora, as I've experienced it, to not value your own tradition, the one that I have adopted for myself, as being as important and as unique a treasure as it really is. Maybe coming from a different kind of Christian background, I can see and understand why what the Armenian church has to offer is so much more enlightening and so much more positive than what many other forms of Christianity profess to believe. So there tends to be some kind of a relativism among many Armenians. Well, if you want to go to this church, go to that church, as long as you go to some kind of church. And sure, there is value probably in most forms of religion, but why not the best? I mean, especially if you were born as an Armenian, whether you realize it or not, you've ended up by whatever chance or act of God or whatever in a very good tradition. So please value it more than maybe some people do. For peripheral people, well, you get out of anything what you put into it. And maybe some people are content to come in, light a candle, and leave 5 minutes later. They're getting something out of that, I assume, because they wouldn't be doing that. And, you know, they have a point of connection with the church. That's the beginning. Some people will never, you know, want more than that. But it's important to have a connection. Some people will grow into more and more as they go along. But, you know, the clergy has a great responsibility to try to relate the treasure of the Armenian church to people in ways that can be easily understood.
Very well said. There you have it, folks. You have an unsolicited, candid referral for the Armenian church. So anyway, Dave, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us and to share these comments, and all the best to you.
Thank you, dear Vaska.
I will keep you in my prayers. Well, there you have it. Some candid expressions of somebody who comes to the faith, who comes to the understanding of Armenian Orthodoxy as a viable faith. And this is what we're all about. When we're talking about Armenian Orthodoxy, so many times we talk about ancient times, we talk about traditions, and forget that this has to be a faith that is touching us right now, that saves us, salvation. And we're not talking about second coming times, about end times. We're talking about right now, that allows us to rise from our humanity and really touch the godliness that Christ wants us to touch. Christ, he comes into our lives. He touches us. How? Through the church, through the body of Christ. And here you have it, a beautiful interview, a man who not only finds that faith in the Armenian Orthodox faith, but also becomes an ambassador for that faith, talking about it, sharing with it. And certainly by this short interview, I know people are going to be talking about it. People are going to be sharing it. Like I said, he did a piece for Window back in 1994. It is on our website. It is on the show notes for today. Do check it out. He talks a little bit more in detail with a little bit more humor, too, as far as how he got involved in the Armenian church. But think about it for a moment. What is that saying, familiarity breeds contempt, right? So many times you're familiar with something and you're just contemptuous. You don't appreciate it. You take it for granted. And I think a lot of times in many of the ethnic churches, Armenian church included, of course, people are born into the church, quote unquote. In other words, this is the faith of my parents. And you don't have that opportunity to interact. You don't challenge the faith at the level of being able to say, you know, is this faith viable? The things that this church is teaching me, are these things that I can take out so that when I have difficulties, when I face death, when I have divorce, when I have financial issues, can I fall back on this faith and understand that it is a way of living and a way of life? And that's what religion is about, right? It's a means of coping with the circumstances that we call life. And certainly in that coping mechanism, we find some beauty. If you don't find the beauty, then you're in the wrong religion. Religion has to be beautiful. And certainly for this gentleman, Dave Lurison, deacon of the Armenian church, it does have meaning. It has its beauty. He has found it. That is Dave Lurison, arts and entertainment editor for the ExpressMilwaukee.com, as well as Shepherd's Express. I hope you enjoyed it. Here is Susie to tell you what we do over here.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
That's about it. Thank you, Susie. You know, she tells you exactly what we need over here. We need your support, and your support starts off with a very basic prayer. In your prayers, please remember epostle.net. Remember this ministry. You know, what we're doing here is something so revolutionary. The email that I get, the volume of people that are listening to these podcasts, that are writing to us, is overwhelming, something that we never expected at the beginning. But it's an expression of God working, in other words, the church becoming the hands, the legs, the mouth of Christ and God working in this world. Now, along with your prayers, I need you to really get the word out that we are doing something. You know, so many times you get into the Armenian Church, you get into the Greek Orthodox Church. I know we have a lot of Episcopalians listening to our show. I get emails from Catholics. These are mainline traditional churches. And it's not about Armenian Orthodox that we're emphasizing over here. Certainly, Armenian Orthodox as a priest of the church, I'm talking from that perspective. To me, it's a fascinating thing, not only because I am Armenian Orthodox, but I look at the history of the Armenian people. Here's a landlocked country, no military strategy, no military, and for the last 2,000 years, every barbarian, every kind of murderer, every kind of rapist has walked through it, raped and pillaged the land and people, and yet we stand. Not because of military might, but because we have probably the greatest of all weapons. In other words, our faith, the faith in Christ, who said that trust in me and not a hair on your head will be touched. And you think about it in the long term, when you look at the entire history of the people and you say, okay, there has to be a reason. There is a reason that we have arrived today. And that reason certainly is the message of love. That love is more powerful than all the hatred, than all the evil that's out there. And that's what we're about over here. When we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, condensed or melded or fused in this form that we call Armedoxy, it's taking, melding the past with the present, with the future, and coming up with what we call in the Armenian Church the eternal present. There's a beautiful letter. I spoke about this a few weeks ago in the Armenian alphabet, the E letter. It is the verb to be. God is always in the eternal present. And that's where the challenge is for us as the church. Not to look at the past and get caught up into it. Not to look at the future. There's a lot of people who do this, you know, the second coming people, okay? Look at the future and say, that's what we're about. No, it's about being today, being alive today. And appreciating all that God has given us and the opportunity for us to become God's body, Christ's body here in this world. So I invite you to get involved with us. Susie gave you all of the means, the formulas to do so, and we look forward to your participation. Hey, we are at the end of today's show. There was so much more that I wanted to talk about. Next week, we're going to come back and we're going to revisit again the story of the prodigal in a few other ways, too. This coming weekend is the Sunday of the dishonest steward, a story that comes to us of a man who is shrewd. Jesus talks about, well, being shrewd in your dealings. Check it out. We'll get to that as well. Do check out all of our programming that you find on epostle.net, where you will find not only today's show, but links to every show we have done from the beginning of time, as well as our videos, all of our podcasts. We invite you to listen in and get involved. Love to hear from you. Our email address is feedback@epostle.net. Do check out the mothership in hisshoes.org. We are also on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Hey, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, for Vahe, our webman, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Voskan. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. We invite you to point your web browser to epostle.net, where you can enter your email address to have the next step delivered directly to your inbox. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.